Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Whoo! Tonight is the night of all nights, because it is the Smooth Drama Coon of the Year Awards, where we go over our deserving candidates, those coons who have stood out above all others. And tonight we have three nominees and a fourth runner-up. So, of course, we're going to get right into it. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. If you're listening to the show and you want in on it, you don't want to call, you can email your vote, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And our social network, so if you are on Facebook, you can request to get into the Smooth Drama group. Myself or Mr. J will add you, and you're in, and we talk about any and everything under the sun. And just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, let's talk about it. Then I'm there for you, because I care about you so much. I'll be there for you. Please? No, I'm playing. All right. And so, man. A lot of deserving candidates out there. But actually, although there's a lot of people cooning, there wasn't as much cooning as last year. I mean, from the major guys, right? Because it became hard to do a lot of cooning, because, you know, you're talking about Donald Trump and them talking about how they don't like black folks, whatnot. And so it's hard to jump on the bandwagon of somebody that hates you. So the coon force was not quite as strong this year. So whereas last year we had like 10 strong candidates, this year we've only got like four. Honorable mention, Ben Carson, the head of urban housing. You know, the black dude that's a neurosurgeon that don't really care too much for black folks and do whatever his master wants. He was our fourth runner-up and write-in voter, write-in vote nominee. I mean, he ran for president. He's a brain surgeon, but he talks like he is really, really slow. Like, maybe they did some brain surgery on him and he doesn't know it because they took a piece out, whatnot. And so he kind of like talks really slow. And he always is amazing in the stupidity that comes out of his mouth. Ben Carson didn't really have a lot of highlights this year. Most of his highlights were last year. So he gets that honorable mention because he is the head of urban housing. But he was talking about maybe we should get rid of it because we don't need it. It's like, so they put you in the job to help poor people get housing. And he's like, nah, they don't need it. They should all be brain surgeons like me, right? Right. Huh. And I'm joined by Miss Brown Sugar here. And so I was talking about our first nominee runner up for Coon of the Year, Mr. Ben Carson. Oh, dropped her. Anyway, so in the meantime, in between time, yeah, we got Ben Carson. And now we're going to actually talk about something else that's relevant to the show. And that is our dumbass of the week. No, you got to have that. All right. Dumbass of the week. The Montana man who thought he was shooting at Bigfoot. and I swear I'm not making this up. There's this dude was shooting at the guy. Dude was putting down traps in the forest in Helena, near Helena, and I believe it's in Washington. No, Montana, my bad. So, he's shooting at the guy. The bullets are flying by him. And so, dude runs into the trees. And then eventually, he's able to confront the shooter. You know, crazy white guy in the black Ford F-150. And he's like, "Hey, man, why are you shooting at me?" And I quote, "I thought you were Bigfoot." He said, and he said, the victim said that the guy told him, "I don't target practice, but if I see something that looks like Bigfoot, I just shoot at it." And he told him, "If you don't want to be mistaken for Bigfoot, wear orange." Yeah, I didn't even have to make that one up. That's a real true life story. Shooting at a guy who thought was Bigfoot. And when dude approached him, he's like, "Man, look, it looked like Bigfoot. I'm shooting at it. Wear orange." Yeah, so you know, if you out near Helena, Montana, you in that forest, wear orange, or crazy white man might shoot you. I'm just saying, I'm not even making this up. This is like the realest of the real. Hilarious. My dumbass of the week. He don't have a name, but he's got a gun and will shoot and kill you. It's you trip. Try to hunt. Oh, no. That was funny. But what's even funnier, our third runner-up for Coon of the Year. This woman, she was special. Omarosa Manigault. Now, what makes Omarosa special is, y'all know, she watched Scandal. She thought, you know what, I'm going to be like Olivia Pope on Scandal. If you ever watched that show, she was the black woman that was the mistress to the president. And so she was, quote unquote, the most powerful woman on earth. So, apparently, Omarosa was watching that and was like, you know what? I'm going to get next to Trump. I'm going to allegedly do some things to him that's going to make him want to keep me around, allegedly. And it's going to be cool. Unfortunately for her, it didn't happen. It didn't go down like that. She got caught out there. And, you know, she got fired actually drug out of the White House. And then, of course, she went from, hey, Donald Trump, a horrible guy, to, you know what? He's a racist person. And I saw it. I saw it. It's like, yeah, you knew that before he got into the White House. That was the cooning part. But now I'm down with black people and Donald Trump is racist because, hey, he fired me. But I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to let y'all hear Omarosa cooning.
April, let's listen to a part of the tape of the day Omarosa was fired by John Kelly. This was, she says, taped in the Situation Room, I guess on a cell phone. Let's listen to it, and then we'll talk about it.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? Is the president aware of
it? Let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion.
I don't want to negotiate. I've never had a chance to talk to you, Jim Kelly.
Yeah,
so if this is my departure, I'd like to have at least an opportunity to understand.
We can talk another time. This has to do with some pretty serious integrity violations. So I'll let it go with that. So the staff and everyone on the staff works for me, not the president.
So there you go. Part of this tape recorded at the White House.
So that was part one. Where, you know, her first question was, is the president aware that you're firing me? Does he know? And then he's like, yeah, he knows. And then she's like, damn it! You know, because that's when it becomes fatally aware to her that she sucked all that Trump dick for nothing. She thought that she was going to play. She thought she was going to be Olivia Pope. But she, of course, is not. She further goes on, and this is the funny part, to say, I was complicit in helping him deceive the people. I mean, but I ain't got to talk about it. I'm going to let
her. Is she a whistleblower or is she a fame junkie? What is Omarosa Manigault doing with her new book? She's making startling claims against her former boss, President Trump. But should the press take her seriously? This is a story that's going to be unraveling for days to come. Ultimately, it's a story about credibility, and it is incredible. I mean, wherever she goes, Omarosa has a reality show following. 10 years ago, she was a reality TV villain. 1 year ago, she was the highest-ranking black employee in the Trump White House. And now, she's the author of a tell-all book titled Unhinged, out on Tuesday. Now, in the book, which CNN has obtained early, she turns on Trump, calling him racist, misogynistic, and mentally waning. She's begun her TV tour on Sunday's Meet the Press, and she's shared some of the tapes that she secretly recorded inside the White House. Now, we'll get to that in a moment. But she's also calling out her former colleagues as liars.
This is a White House where everybody lies. The president lies to the American people. Sarah Huckabee stands in front of the country and lies every single day. You have to have your own back.
That is, she says, what?
So, she knew they was lying from the jump, right? But she still was rolling with them anyway. See, this is coon. This is coonology at its finest. Coons are cool with cooning. They get fired, then they're upset. Omarosa, a.k.a. the fake Olivia Pope, even though Olivia Pope is fake, she's the faker Olivia Pope because she thought she was going to be Olivia Pope, but she ended up not being it. She ended up being number three on our coon of the year list. Oh, man. And it's just getting started. I'm always amazed by coons. I'm not amazed by coons, but I'm amazed by coons. Because I can't think of in the history of this country or any other country where the coons, the sellouts, prosper. They just don't. I mean, yeah, you'll get some scraps. You know, you get like half a piece of bacon. I mean, wasn't that the thing, slavery? And everybody else got the scraps, what was left over, but you got the best of the scraps. And so that made you a step above. You know, and so here we are. We have Omarosa. You know what? They're lying. You got to have your own back. And she's recording everything, saying, this is what we do. Hey, didn't quite work out for you. Can't say that it didn't happen to a better person, because it happened to the right person. In the meanwhile, in between while, gonna go on break. This is Roscoe. Since I'm feeling myself Christmas wise, this is White Christmas.
St. Nicholas, European holidays, and niggas so ignorant. Got France and blips and hands mounted in my kitchen bed bunny. My uncle family, the hope of witnesses. This kid, we thought they betrayed me for not celebrating shit. Went to college, learned Christmas is ridiculous. Hating holidays, ain't no Christ in it. Cause a holiday means a holy day. And December 25th was the birth of the god Saturn. Ancient Romans would celebrate the upper class worship Mithra, the god of the unconsolable sun, and that's Christmas. In the Western Hemisphere, December 22nd is the shortest day and longest night of the year. Went for 3 days, hence the sun died. The sun resurrects December 25th. So the S wind is the son of God. The man made religion, metaphorical son of God. Named him Mommy Ray, named him Saturn, named him Mithra, named him Christ, the same pattern. Ancient astrology, the Egyptian weapon. Scientifically put, it's the winter solstice. And after the Catholic Church came to power, they absorbed festivals already popular. In the slave days, they gave us this gift, fuck. Bound up the metal chains and they whipped us. With a German smile right after they licked us. We still a fucking slave and we celebrate Christmas. Knowing Bethlehem is rare as fuck. Angel evergreens and reindeer, y'all is nuts. The history of Christmas is a mix of customs from pagans. Y'all clowns just decorating Satan. The Yule tree was first decorated in the 16th century in Livonia in Germany. In Northern Europe, the Druids during winter nights, cause evergreens is a symbol of everlasting life. Vikings in Scandinavia went a little farther. Thought of a special planet, the sun god Balder. The Germanic tribes were old way to fly right horse, which in the Santa Claus rule when of course. And the Dutch called them sin. To crawl, his sidekick a demon in the Krampus, bad children kill a dog, Santa Claus lived combined with Satan, the 4th century Greek bishop who gave gifts, said he liberated an Ethiopian from a slave ship, who was so grateful he became his servant, and so racist, the boy called Peter, the origin of the elves is so fiendish, black Peter in England, dark here in Swedish, why do you need this, look it up if you don't believe it, and even Chile, Satan in the Netherlands, they still dress up in black face, I go to bed. Rockefeller Center. Stupid if you ain't fighting or ignoring. If you
Christian and or black, you a fucking fool. I seen Miracle on 42nd Street, wasn't no Asians or Latinos, you disrespected me. Nigga, genocide and black law, I can see him real, this is fact, go Jack Frost.
I'm a boy,
Mr. Iconoclast. You know what it is. Listen, man. We live in a country where 1% of the population controls 99% of the wealth. Well, black president kicked his corporate American ass. Now, one single criminal Wall Street banker spent a day in prison. The jail arrest 5,000 people occupy Wall Street protesters. We the biggest recession since the Great Depression. But y'all throw y'all fucking money away. $5.3 billion on Black Friday. You're not just a stupid consumer. That's not capitalism. That's a slave mentality.
Together you guys move. Drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Roscoe, White Christmas. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And welcome back to the Coon of the Year Award Show. Now, I saw there was a, what, the Forever 21 scandal. I guess people call it a scandal. I didn't see what the issue was, but I guess I can see what the issue is. I mean, we talk about appropriation and whatnot, and it came with everybody mad at Forever 21 for having a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy model the Wakanda Forever sweater. And folks on Twitter and everywhere was like, yo, you disrespecting our black utopia. Yo, Wakanda Forever. Everybody, you know, Wakanda Forever, pumping they fit, all that. That's all cool, except for appropriation is kind of what we be doing here. I mean, Stan Lee created Black Panther. I mean, Stan Lee, y'all know Stan Lee, white man. I mean, it was him throwing some love to black folks, you know. Black Panther, a character, a king who comes from a country that's never been conquered by white people, any people. You know, it's a great story. It's a great landscape. But it's fictitious. And it was created by Marvel Comics, which is owned by Disney. Disney took the chance, made the movie, and yes, it did, what, about $750 million, almost a billion. Maybe it did a billion or so. All good. But it goes into Disney's pocket. I mean, you know, we're talking about folks fussing over a black utopia that does not exist. You know, I would actually wonder, why are you fussing over Wakanda? You know, that's the question, first. And second, why do we feel the need to claim fictitious stuff and be mad if, you know, Forever 21 wants to sell sweaters to white people? If you put a blonde-haired, blue-eyed person in the sweater, that means they're targeting white people. I mean, that's advertising 101. You put the face of whoever you're trying to sell to on that advertisement. They won't. I mean, because black folks already got the Black Panther outfit, the Black Panther everything. I mean, you say like 70% of the black population know about Black Panther and has some Black Panther paraphernalia. Cool shit. Still, Disney gets all the money. But that's irrelevant in this part. So we're talking about Forever 21 trying to get some of that money because they paid the licensing fee, which you have to pay to even have Wakanda Forever on there. And if you don't understand how serious that is, there were some parents who just they had to get the okay from, and I bullshit you not, from Disney to be able to have their kid put Iron Man on their kid's gravestone. That's how serious that is. I don't think y'all understand. If you try to do anything, if you're making money or there's potential to make money and Disney can't get down with it, they suing you. They coming to get you. But, you know, we're talking about a headstone. That parents had to get permission to put a headstone, have Iron Man on it. So if you don't recognize how serious that is, think about that there. Then circle back to now. Forever 21 paid a pretty penny to get the rights to sell the sweater Wakanda Forever. And if black folks buy them, you know, they're like, most black folks already bought them. And so they put the blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil on there because they want blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil to buy Wakanda Forever shirt. Duh. It's not appropriation. I mean, it's a comic book character. It's no more appropriation than, you know, I see a lot of black folks dressed up as Captain America. And so, I mean, if a black dude was in the advertisement wearing a Captain America costume, are we going to be up in arms? Probably not. Created by the same company. I mean, as somebody who goes to comic book conventions all the time, you see black folks wearing all kinds of characters, and they're not all black characters. So if they're not all black characters, they're white characters or whatever. No need. I'm mad at them. People like who they like. I mean, it goes to if they were trying to sell Thor t-shirts. You know, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed edition of Thor that's in the comic book. And they had a black dude with Thor, a Thor t-shirt on. Asgard Forever. Who's upset? Somebody mad about that? Probably not. See, I can go on and on and on and on. Point being, shit, it's not that serious. It is not that serious. If you think it is, hey, God bless you. If you want to call in, 347-826-7435, we can debate it. But I don't see the issue at all. It is what it is. A comic book character. And if you love comic book characters, whatever T-shirt is in the advertisement, that company is making the money. I mean, if you want to be mad over something, be mad if they try to appropriate a black character, black universe from what? A black creator, a black owned comic book company. Because there's a lot of them. Hell, I'm part owner of one. And that's the point. If that stuff, if the appropriation and all that stuff gets to you, there are a lot of black owned comic book companies. You can support any one of them, or all of them. And your support is greatly appreciated. But we can't fuss over comic book characters created by white people, even though there's a black face on it. At the end of the day, Disney makes $1 billion. Nobody else. And speaking of money, number two on the list of Hakuun of the Year. And you know what? I ain't even do it real justice, right? Let me do it real justice.
Coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at?
All right. Our newest, well, not newest, one of the older coons, and this one is like shocking and hurtful, Jim Brown. I mean, if you remember, Jim Brown, former star running back for the Cleveland Browns, a ballwork. He was one of the original athletes, him, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, a couple others, Oscar Robertson. They were all together for athletes standing up against, and not being stereotyped, whatnot, and being treated fairly, whatnot, and having a voice in society. I mean, he was on the front lines of that. But now he changed a little bit, just a little bit. And I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to let you hear his words. This is Jim Brown on Donald Trump.
Jim Brown, you supported Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I did.
What brought you to Trump Tower? This guy?
Well, I'll tell you, the President of the United States voted me. My president. You know, he wanted fair and square. He's going to be our man for the next 4 years at least, probably eight. And he's amenable to listening to people who did not vote for him.
He listened to you. You told me in commercial break that you all were in there for a long time.
Yes.
What did you talk about and what did you ask of him?
We talked about making America a better country. We talked about the poor people. We talked about African American people. We talked about education, getting rid of violence, dealing with economic development realistically, and how to work together.
You know, people listening to these NFL greats and the pastor being in this room, I mean, that's a stellar lineup of men. But when you're thinking about those who voted for Mr. Trump and the working class in middle America, and certainly you have fought on behalf of a lot of those people for your lifetime, but speak to those people in this country who feel like they're not being listened to and they're not being represented.
Well, you almost have the wrong guy. See, I look like a bourgeoisie and middle class, but I've been out there for many, many years in the ghettos across this country. The American program concentrates on being in the community, developing leadership in that community, teaching life skills to those individuals and teach them how to deal with responsibility of self-determination and how to gain success over working hard and working intelligently. So we're not bourgeoisie. We're not above the people. We are a part of the people. And I can't speak for the pastor.
Sure.
But I fell in love with him because he really talks about helping African-American black people. And that's why I'm here.
You fell in love with Donald Trump today.
Well, it isn't really about just Donald Trump. It's about him and the position he occupies. That position is considered the most important person in the world. The most powerful person in the world is supposed to be our president. When he goes through what he went through to become the president, he got my admiration. Because no one gave him a chance. You know, they called him names. People that called him names when he won, he reached back and brought them along with him. He held no grudges. So who am I to say that I played quarterback when I only played running back? I don't know everything, and I don't try to address everything. But the reception I got today from him, I'll always remember that. Because he listened to us, and he knows that we can bring something to him to help the people of this country. Is that a speech?
No, I appreciate you coming through.
Yeah. Jim Brown, talking about his admiration and how he fell in love with Donald Trump. Now, he actually goes back to the White House, and I quote, I couldn't find the condensed version, so I'm just going to say this, where he, when Kanye West went to the White House, Jim Brown was there also, and Jim Brown is on video saying, I don't even want nothing. I'm just here to serve. Now, think about that. Now, he's like, yeah, Donald Trump, he don't hold no grudges. I mean, we're talking about, what, 2 years later, he done fired like 55 people. Of course, you know, 49 of them resigned, but he's fired, like, a record amount of people, you know? I mean, the joke is, hey, if you get the job working in the White House, get all yours up front, like, hey, I'm going to need my money up front because you're not going to make it whatever the term is. Because it's just not going to happen. I think at this point, I don't think there's anybody aside from what, Mike Pence, the vice president, that has been there from the beginning. He has moved all of them out. Of course, he's living out his reality show as president. In the point that Jim Brown, oh, yeah, he don't hold no grudges, and he listens, and he has my admiration. I fell in love with Donald Trump. Because, hey, you know, Donald Trump can help him get what he... Look, I might look bougie, but I'm not bougie. I'm Jim Brown. I am not bougie now. Yes, I want to serve. I mean, because these are the classic examples of what, when you got slave master and then you got slaves who defend him, like, you know what? Master, listen. I talk to master. Master, hear what I say. Master, respect me enough to let me talk. Then master says, I hear you, Jim. I got mad respect for you. That's what master do for me. Think about that. Think about that for a second. Jim Brown, former black nationalist. Now he's a black nationalist who don't look like he bougie. And even though he don't want nothing, he just wants to serve. He's down for black people by being down for Trump. For you. Y'all remember a couple of years ago when Steve Harvey, and he came out and he was like, yeah, Obama called me and told me to talk to Trump. At least Jim Brown was like, you know what? He called me in and I answered. We had a real conversation about how I can come for him, me. I mean, help people. Him and the good reverend, whatever the hell his name is, and I don't care. They're here to help. Whew. All right. That's that. I'm going on break. This is Common. The next chapter. I still love her.
Common.
Your host, Mr. F the N-word. That was Common. The next chapter, I still love her. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, we're at the end here. And down the stretch, we, of course, are going to reveal our coon of the year. I don't think it's really a surprise. I think most folks have an idea. But we're gonna keep to the format, and we're going to reveal it later. In the meantime, we, of course, know that this is where we have our Groundhog Day. You know, that stuff that happens over and over again. It doesn't change. It's just racist for no reason. It's going to happen. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it. Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
All right. So what is that crazy shit that happened again? Well, police killing a black. Only this one has a twist to it. So police killed an Ohio teen, then charged his girlfriend for his murder. Peep how this goes down. 16-year-old Julius E. Tate Jr. He was involved in the undercover operation where the police set up meetings with people wanting to buy and sell goods. So, undercover SWAT officer met with Julius, hoping to exchange cash for whatever he was selling. And Julius pulled out handgun and tried to rob the officer, allegedly. And so, because you always got to say that, right? Because there's the police version and then there's what really happened. So, what's next, they say, is he tries to rob the officer. Of course, the officer shoots him and kills him, right? Now, here's where it gets funny. SWAT officer shoots and kills him, but the police are claiming that Julia's girlfriend, 16-year-old Masonique Saunders, played a part in the robbery. They said that she had a handgun on her person during the time of the so-called robbery. And so she was taken into custody and charged with murder and aggravated robbery, even though she ain't killed the boyfriend or have anything to do with the robbery. Now, let's think about that. And this is where the laws are funny. So, Ohio state law says the person can be charged with murder if they cause the death of another person as a proximate result of the offender's committing or attempting to commit an offense of violence that is a felony of the first or second degree. Now, what the hell does that mean? That means that even though she did not shoot her boyfriend, she's being charged because she was there and she had a gun. Not the gun that shot and killed Julius Tate. Just a gun. And they're going to use Ohio's law and the fact that, you know, they racist as hell to say, you know what? We just going to put you in jail and charge you with murder. Even though, I mean, just think about that for a second. You're with someone. The police say that person tried to rob the police. The police shoot that person and charge you with murder. And you don't really have no defense because basically they just lie and say, hey, you know what? He tried to rob us. She was there. She's part of the robbery. Bam. Jail time. Just like that. So, you want to ask what is the Groundhog Day? Hell, black folks getting railroaded on some questionable stuff. Now, I can see if I go to jail, if I pop the cap in them, I had something to do. We was in a shootout. Even if it was an accidental shooting, I was playing around with the gun, forgot to take it out the chamber, pop. But no. It ain't none of that. I didn't do the robbery. I didn't do the shooting, but I'm getting charged. And she's 16. She's going to charge her like an adult. Going to charge her like an adult. Yep. Groundhog Day is alive and well. And going strong. And I guess, speaking of going strong, I think most folks know who the Coon of the Year is. If you don't know, we're just coming out with it. Kanye West. This one was really easy. I mean, in the smooth drum poll. Thank you for all those you voted. They all voted for Kanye West with the honorable mention of Ben Carson. A couple people. But, you know, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let Kanye show you how he worked hard to be the Coon of the Year.
You hear?
Because he was special with it.
About slavery for 400 years. For 400 years? That sounds like a choice. He was there for 400 years, and it's all of y'all? You know, like, it's like we're mentally in prison. Hey, everyone, listen to this, please. 2 days before I was in the hospital, I was on opioids. I was addicted to opioids. I had plastic surgery because I was trying to look good for y'all. I got liposuction because I didn't want y'all to call me fat. When he was running, it's like I felt something. The fact that he won, it's like it proved something. It proves that anything is possible. When I see an outsider infiltrate, I connect with that. I might be president one day, you know, so I might be in that situation where it's harder for me to explain to the masses why something isn't happening, that they feel that the concept of a president should be able to fix.
All right. Kanye West. You know, 400 years, that was a choice. I mean, in one part, he is correct. I mean, for those who didn't jump off the slave ship, who just figured, hey, getting eaten by a shark is better than serving these punk mother. Yeah, but that other stuff, no. And the fact that he's like, hey, you know what? Donald Trump was an outsider. I connected with him. Gonna make America great again. And actually, during that interview, he had blonde hair. And so, you know, I've got that rule. I just can't trust black folks with blonde hair. I just can't. It's like you got blonde hair. I don't know. I think you ready to murder something. I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. But I'm wrong. I can't do it. I'm sorry. But yeah, Kanye West, blonde hair at the time. And like you said, he might be president. And hell, with the way things are going, he might be president. Because he crazy enough. And I can see something stupid like that happening. I could. Real easy. Because he's crazy. Be able to control him. Talking crazy. Coon of the Year. And I'd be remiss if I'm talking about Coon of the Year. I don't play the Coon of the Year music, right? So they can dance a jig to it. Y'all can't hear. You know, gotta have the music when you're talking about Coon of the Year. So we can get down. You know, this is like really hurting me. I want y'all to know. I'm playing this music. It's like really, really hurting my heart and soul. It's like something that's moving in my stomach. It's not a good feeling. I might, you know, when the show's over, have to throw some stuff up. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's too much. Whew. Yeah. Coon of the Year, Kanye West, took Jason Whitlock's title from last year. You know, Jason Whitlock just fell right off the cliff. He started making his comments about Kaepernick, and then black folks just stopped watching the show altogether. And then all of a sudden, white folks are like, well, hell, we only got you on this show because we was trying to get some black demographic, and you're not going to bring the black demographic. Why are we even having you on TV? Bam. So shout out to all the black folks who refused to watch anything that Jason Whitlock was on. This way, he didn't get a chance to be Coon of the Year because nobody heard a damn thing he said. Shout out to black folks on that. And anybody else who just stopped listening. Stop listening to these fools, just like Kanye West. You know, they're not famous if we just stop listening. I mean, he's kind of proved he don't need to be listened to no more. Coon of the Year. And maybe we can make 2019 or maybe 2020 the International Year of the Coon. Smooth Drama University coming to a campus near you. But speaking of coming to a campus near you, hey, take heart, black folks. The Senate unanimously approved the bill to make lynching a federal crime. So, going forward, you get lynched, it's federal crime. No? Nobody? Okay. No. That doesn't make y'all happy. Lynching, you know, 200 years too late. Lynch, a federal crime now. Yay. Hanging from trees back in the day. So now can we, like, go back, if we get a time machine, hot tub time machine, we can go back and charge folks, like, retro? No? Y'all think that'd be a good idea? I think it'd be kind of hot. But we got to get that time machine first, though, right? Anyway, for all of you listening, thank you for your support. Your support is always greatly appreciated. For all of you involved, for Mr. J, for Ms. Brown Sugar, and all you listeners out there, I'm Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production. We out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.